Mass Resistance. Local news and views you won't hear anywhere else. Mass Resistance. Your opinion counts with Brian Kamenker. Mass Resistance. Get involved. Become a part of the solution. Mass Resistance. Boston's Conservative Talk. 1150 WTTT.
Hello, everyone. This is Brian Kamenker, and you are listening to Radio Free Massachusetts. Mass Resistance Radio here on WTTT 1150 AM in Boston. This show is heard every Saturday from 3 to 4. Every Sunday, it's repeated from 7 until 8 p.m. And you can hear it probably starting late Saturday on the web, massresistance.org. And you can hear it anytime after that. Go to massresistance.org for all the latest news. Go to massresistance.net for even more hard-hitting stuff, if you can believe that. I'm here with Amy.
This is Amy.
And we have another in-studio guest, Ari Taube.
Thank you, Brian.
And this is a full show. I mean, we've got a lot going on. We're talking about Mitt Romney's speech. We have Larry Serignano, Catholic activist, C.J. Doyle, the Catholic Action League. We're going to be talking about a very, very frightening and, you know, sort of disturbing children's hospital doctor story. I mean, what can you say about this? I mean, this transgender world is getting completely...
And that's one reason we have a special guest in the studio with us, is to talk about the pharmaceutical nightmare that's awaiting some of the children in America.
Right. And, okay, what else is going on? What do we want to start with?
Well, we're going to mention something that's fairly disturbing, but we have been talking about it. People have to know it's really come to this in Massachusetts. On next Tuesday, the 15th of May, in the Massachusetts State House, there's going to be a transgender lobby day. They're lobbying for their transgender rights and hate crimes bill. Soon we will be publishing an expose, an analysis of that bill and what it would bring to the state if it's actually passed.
Could you imagine the founding fathers, you know, having a transgender lobby day?
I think there will be some people on the other side lobbying as well that day, trying to, tell the legislators there are a few other things they might want to look at on that issue. But anyhow, that's a major shock to us to find out that that's actually happening. The other thing, Ari, you heard and saw in the Herald and heard on the radio something about Governor Patrick this morning.
Yeah, that's right, Amy. Well, it's being reported today in the Herald and kind of the buzz of the town at the moment, where it's being reported Deval Patrick is actually offering jobs to legislators in order that the legislators shoot down the proposed ban on gay marriage. It's going to be coming up in the upcoming constitutional convention. And we all know that it wasn't but a minute after Deval Patrick took office that he went around to the legislators advocating a dereliction of their constitutional duty to put this to a vote. They had 170,000 signatures by citizens looking to vote on marriage, and Deval Patrick would like to rob the citizens of that right. And right now, it's come to bribery. He knows that there are legislators in the state house that are not on his side. And there is now some kickbacks that are being proposed for either they or their families that they go ahead and change their position on the topic. So it's being somewhat denied. He is saying that, no, he only hires based upon merit. But based on his previous actions, it's evident that there is a concerted effort going on behind the scenes here.
You know, I would have thought that they would have tried the Sal DiMaggio approach that he did last time, threats. I know at least one rep who was threatened on a different issue, on the gay funding issue, that with funds being withheld from her district unless she voted the right way. But I guess I'm sure that'll be coming too.
I'm sure both those things are happening. But Governor Patrick is scheduled to receive an award also this weekend, which will happen right after this taping. So we assume it's going to go forward. The Youth Pride event in Boston, Saturday, May 12th. You've got to check out the website, massresistance.org, and the blog.net to get a full report on how crazy this event is to begin with, but for him to be accepting an award from this group is really outrageous. And here again, he basically made promises that if elected, he would do everything he could to help out not only the homosexual lobby, but the transgender lobby as well.
Yeah. He's scheduled to get an award on the Boston, on the Boston Common from a drag queen. And the kinds of things that go on are too lurid and depraved to discuss on the radio. You have to go to the website and actually see the pictures.
Yeah, well, if you don't get to our website, you'll miss a lot because pictures tell the story. You got to see this drag queen's website and the sorts of things this man is involved in.
And this is a youth event.
Yeah, and this so naturally, if this is Youth Pride, what are the kids going to do? They see the name of this drag queen, they're immediately going to go to that website, and they're going to see all these hideous photos. One of them, it's like we can't even talk about them on the air. Let's just say they're frightening photographs. The other thing that we found out this year, Youth Pride is doing through its allies at GLSEN, that's GLSEN, and also Bagley. They're using the MySpace and Facebook sites to lure kids in. And I was on the Facebook site about Youth Pride, and what's shocking to me, I mean, I don't spend a lot of time on those teen websites, what do you call them? They're not even websites, whatever, but what's shocking is that the kids have their actual names, their actual photographs, and contact information right there. And we know also about this Youth Pride that this has been advertised all over the Boston Pride website with adults, many of whom are not to be trusted with children. It's advertised on Edge Boston, which is a crazy homosexual.
Yeah, it's a sex offenders candy store.
Yeah, sex offenders candy store. There you go. I didn't know quite how to get the point across. I guess that does. Now, last year, one of our friends was at the queer trans prom at the end of the day, which takes place at Boston City Hall. And there were men.
It's happening again this year.
And that's happening every year. It's happening again this Saturday night at Boston City Hall. There were men there. There were pervs, as this fellow called them, passing out little flyers to the young boys there, inviting them to home parties with a picture of, you know, two men holding a young boy between them. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's going on, and these are the people that are presenting an award to Deval Patrick for his political leadership on their issues.
And Amy, if I could chime in on this, I mean, you know, you're defined by the company that you keep, and by Deval Patrick coming up, accepting an award such as this one presented by these types of groups, whether or not he really understands what they all stand for, people really, your listeners really ought to understand that it's truly unacceptable for a governor to represent an entire state and be involved in such a really ghastly little niche. And it's reprehensible as a public servant, really, to be actually advocating
right.
for this
and,
stuff.
And even though everybody will be hearing this after the event, and we will have a report on it, I think the governor still needs to hear from everyone that this is completely inappropriate. Government should not be encouraging children to go to these horrible places and associate with these people. We should be actively discouraging it. So if you want to check out the report and give the governor a call. His phone number is 617-725-4005.
Right, and it's the Mass Resistance website, massresistance.org. You can see these pictures, and you can and we also, you know, we not only have the pictures of the people presenting, but the past years. You know, it's interesting. This same event is the reason that Mitt Romney threatened to completely disband his whole gay commission. Of course, he backed down when the, you know, the gays basically stood up to him. But it is as lurid and depraved as anything that anybody's seen.
One last thing we discovered when we were looking at postings related to the Youth Pride. We went onto the GLSEN website, and various people are just astounded how filthy all of the links are that GLSEN is linking on their MySpace page. There's one that's absolutely satanic, and it is so frightening, I can hardly look at it. And it's right there. It's the second friend posted on the GLSEN MySpace.
GLSEN is one of the, you know, the awards getting an award with
Glisson
Tabel
is also
Patrick.
Getting an award at this event. It's yeah. unbelievable.
All right. Well, we've got a lot to talk about, so we're going to move on. This is Brian Kamenker with Amy and Ari Taube. We've got a lot going on, so don't go anywhere. This is Mass Resistance Radio. Brian Kamenker, we'll be right back. And we're back. Brian Kamenker, Mass Resistance Radio here on WTTT 1150 AM. Well, as the Catholic Church is going through some very interesting changes with the new Pope, who seems to be taking a very strong stand on moral issues, as he had been before he was Pope. One of the things that many of us have observed is on the bottom rungs of the church, things have sort of fallen off, and then on the top, they're starting to strengthen things. Well, I've got C.J. Doyle here of the Catholic Action League what do I know? But C.J., you know what's going on. Thanks for coming on the show.
Always glad to be here, Brian.
Tell us about the latest from the Pope.
Wonderful news, actually. The Pope is visiting Brazil, which is the largest Catholic country in the world, and on his airline flight over to Brazil, he made some comments to reporters about some recent decisions by the bishops in Mexico. You know, there's an attempt to soften abortion laws in Mexico. Abortion is still illegal in the United States of Mexico, and the bishops have threatened excommunication of any Catholic legislator, any member of the National Assembly, the Mexican Congress, who votes to kill preborn children. And when asked about this, the Pope said this was an entirely appropriate thing. It was not in any way arbitrary or unreasonable. He said it was part of the Code of Canon Law, since the Code of Canon Law does contain what's called a laeti sententiae, an automatic self-excommunication for anyone who willfully procures an abortion or assists in the procurement of abortion. So somebody who legalizes abortion or votes funds to legalize it or votes funds to perform abortion would obviously be in the latter category of somebody who was approximately cooperated with it.
Wow.
So the Pope indicated that would be appropriate. He also went on to say that at the very least, Catholic politicians who support abortion should be denied Holy Communion, should not be allowed to receive the sacrament at Mass, because they'd be in a state of mortal sin. So, of course, this is something that our bishops need to hear and that our clergy needs to hear, our priests need to hear, because we have this terrible scandal, 48 million dead children in America since Roe versus Wade.
Right. And many of them in Massachusetts.
And many of them, about 28,000 a year in Massachusetts, a little less than that perhaps nowadays because our population has become so stagnant. And about 8,000 of those, by the way, paid for with your tax dollars. And this is an appalling scandal, the greatest, self-genocide in history. And here we have, Catholic politicians like John Kerry marching up to Holy Communion, Ted Kennedy, and so many others who support abortion, and for which they receive no sanction and no penalty from the church.
What do you think might happen in Massachusetts? So what's your sense?
Obviously, Conal O'Malley has indicated that he doesn't believe that politicians who he said that they shouldn't receive Holy Communion, something to the effect of they themselves should decide, but he shouldn't enforce it in any kind of in any way. Now, some bishops are starting to change. We have Archbishop Burke out in St. Louis, who indicated that he would not give Holy Communion to Senator Kerry when Kerry was running for president on a pro-abortion platform. So I think it's going to be a very, very gradual process, particularly here, where we have our bishops and our clergy have been kind of the enablers of the apostate Catholic political class. You can't see Mayor Menino without some Catholic priest or prelate standing next to him smiling all the time.
Right.
And this is, as I said, this is a scandal. But I think, it reform starts from the top. And if you have the Pope taking a strong position and other bishops taking a strong position, it will eventually reach Massachusetts. When, though, I can't tell you.
What is the reaction of the politicians when this happens?
Well, obviously, they become very nervous. They play down. They work against the church. They completely dismiss the influence of the church. They claim that the church doesn't has no hold over them. But they do become very, very defensive. We see it here in Massachusetts time and time again of politicians who become. We saw Kerry get very testy over statements that. the Pope made when he was Cardinal Ratzinger about the about Catholic politicians who support abortion and the homosexual agenda. Mm-hmm. We've seen cases, so many cases of legislators here in Massachusetts who become very, very angry at any kind of a case where the church speaks out on a fundamental moral issue.
So, what do you think should happen? Should there be some maybe dialogue of faithful Catholics with the leadership to say maybe we should enforce this? How would that work?
Well, I think we have to let our bishops. The Vatican Council said we should the Catholic laity should let their bishops know about their spiritual needs. And we need to let our bishops know that they need to prevent this scandal and sacrilege. I mean, it's not only a scandal, but in a scandal in the classical sense of the word, that it's giving a bad example, and it's calling into question the integrity of the church's teaching by allowing rich and powerful men like United States senators who clearly violate the laws of the church to go up and receive Holy Communion. But it's also a sacrilege. These men are receiving the Blessed Sacrament in a state of mortal sin. They have the blood of innocent children on their hands.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is a case where sacred tradition, canon law and pastoral and moral theology all teach one of the worst sins a Catholic can commit is to unworthily receive the body and blood of our Lord.
Right,
so this is a case where it would be a great it's a charity to prevent these men and women from receiving the Blessed Sacrament, because it's something that's as Scripture is saying, they're eating and drinking the body and blood of our Lord to their own judgment.
Right. Yeah, we're speaking with C.J. Doyle, the Catholic Action League. This is definitely something that would be a great effort. Beyond that, there's been a lot written lately of Catholic colleges having pro-abortion speakers and things like that. Is that getting worse or better?
I think it's more of the same. We have the church is engaged in this desperate struggle against a ruthless enemy on the issue of same-sex marriage, in which we're barely making progress. We have 57. We can only get 57 votes out of 200 in the legislature to get the thing to go forward. And here we have so many Catholic colleges and institutions honoring men and women who not only support abortion but support same-sex marriage. And the list is out now for this area. Boston College Law School is going to give an award to Congressman Ed Markey, who was a strong supporter of abortion and same-sex marriage and embryonic stem cell research. Regis College in Weston is giving an award to Attorney General Martha Coakley, who was, again, a supporter of abortion and same-sex marriage. The small college run by the Sisters of Mercy, Marion Court in Swampscott, is giving an award to Congressman John Tierney, also a supporter of same-sex marriage and abortion. And, of course, Boston College is giving an award to former Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney, who had a very mixed record on abortion, mostly pro-abortion. And, of course, one of the worst scandals is Stonehill College, which is in the Diocese of Fall River, which is administered by the Holy Cross Fathers. Now, they're the same religious order that runs Notre Dame. Stonehill College is giving an award to Massachusetts Education Commissioner David Driscoll, who I think your listeners are very familiar with, Brian, who is one of the biggest promoters of the homosexual agenda here in Massachusetts, and a promoter of radical AIDS education and sex education and condoms in the public schools.
Oh, yeah. Under his leadership, the Department of Education became the most pro-homosexual body of sort in the country. I mean, it's horrible.
That's without any hyperbole, by the way.
Right.
That's completely factual. Yeah.
So what can people do, faithful Catholics? Should they do?
Stonehill College is the offender here, but as I said, it's part of the Diocese of Fall River, and though it's run by a religious order, it still comes under the jurisdiction of the bishop. So I would urge people to contact Bishop George Coleman. He's the bishop of Fall River. Now, again, this is Stonehill is not within the Archdiocese of Boston. It's in a separate diocese, the Diocese of Fall River. Bishop George Coleman is the bishop of Fall River, and let me give you a phone number where you can contact Bishop Coleman.
Okay.
It's 508-675-1311. That's 508-675-1311, 1311. And I just urge everyone to contact Bishop Coleman and urge him to protest or to instruct Stonehill College to cancel. This is going to be, I think, on the 20th of Sunday, the 20th of May. They're going to give an honorary Doctor of Humanities degree to Education Commissioner Driscoll. Say this is a terrible scandal. This is a fellow that has worked against Catholic moral teaching in the public school system. That's worked against parental rights. that's worked against any kind of traditional morality, that's certainly done everything possible to promote the homosexual agenda and is promote this assault on the family.
Right.
And you know the Catholic religion teaches that the parents are the primary educators of children. It isn't up to the state to usurp the role of parents in the moral and religious upbringing of their children,
which is what's going on
here with this aggressive proselytizing.
So that's Bishop Coleman, 508-675-1311, Stonehill College, giving an honorary doctorate to the Commissioner David Driscoll.
David P. Driscoll,
who has also been a huge promoter of the GLSEN conferences and everything else.
Everything
we hate.
Yeah.
It's been terrible. CJ, thank you very much for coming on the air and educating people about this. And this is great news about the Pope, and let's hope that it brings good things.
I hope so. Thank you for having us, Brian.
All right. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
This is CJ Doyle, the Catholic Action League, Brian Kamiker, Mass Resistance Radio. We'll be right back. And we're back. Brian Kamiker, WTTT 1150 AM, Mass Resistance Radio, Radio Free Massachusetts, here in the Boston area. There's a lot going on. We are taping this segment on Thursday. And tonight, Thursday night, Mitt Romney is scheduled to be a guest speaker and get an award at the largest pro-life dinner in Massachusetts, the Western Massachusetts, Massachusetts Citizens for Life. And this is very interesting. I mean, the Planned Parenthood people apparently have said that they might be there to protest, but there will be pro-life people protesting too. There's a huge scandal over this. Mass Citizens for Life had declared Romney to be reliably pro-choice, and then after he donated $15,000 to that group, I think it was a year ago, they changed their view, and now they're giving him an award for his pro-life activity. We have with us on the air Larry Serignano of Catholic Action,
I'm a Catholic activist.
Catholic activist.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for coming on. And tonight, we're planning on being out there, aren't we?
We sure are. I'd like to be able to go to the dinner and hear what he has to say, sort of as a truth squad.
Tell everybody what happened.
I was called yesterday and told that they have sold out and that the ticket that I thought they had for me, they don't have anymore.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting to see. I've got a number of people that are trying to get me a ticket. I hope I can go in and hear what he has to say. But I think it's important that people be there. Their sales are down. I've talked to a lot of people who intentionally aren't going, and they're voting with their feet and their pocketbook.
Wow. So it's interesting. We called, and we were told that they were full. And you called, and you said, and they called you after you had reserved a seat and said that they were full, and that the seat that you thought you had, you don't have. You,
right.
One of the most visible pro-life activists in Massachusetts, are being denied admission to the pro-life dinner.
They called and asked if I wanted chicken or fish, and I told them, and then they called back 2 days later saying, "Gee, we're sold out."
Wow, this is terrible. So we have our, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we have our report on Romney's pro-life actions and views since his alleged conversion on the Mass Resistance website. But Larry, what were you to go in there tonight? What are the kinds of things that you'd want to find out?
Certainly, based on his record, we ought to be asking questions. Will he defund Planned Parenthood?
Right.
You know, stop giving government money to Planned Parenthood. I think that's very important. I want to know, will he make it illegal to kill embryos? Right now, the position of the Bush administration is just not to use government funds to pay for it.
Right.
Which is just morally indefeasible. The problem is that we're killing babies that we're making for parts.
Right.
And so we've got to talk about that. Will he actually go out and raise money for Right to Life groups? I mean, he didn't help Right to Life while he was governor.
Never went to any of these dinners.
He didn't help any of the family groups. He never showed up at any of their events while he was governor, while he had the bully platform.
Yeah. And we all know that DeVal Patrick goes to every you know gay dinner that he can.
That's right.
And you know he's at all of these things.
And on euthanasia, we've got to ask about Terry Schiavo. He was quoted as saying that he didn't think that the government should have gotten involved. We gave water to the flowers in Terry Schiavo's room, but we wouldn't give water to Terry Schiavo by court order.
And he said the judges did the right thing.
And he said the judges did the right thing, or that the judges should be allowed to do what they want. Now, I think any president, the most important battle here is over who the next president is and who he points as judges. The battle for judges, especially the Supreme Court, euthanasia, right to life, all pale by comparison what the court is going to do. And Romney not only appointed a lot of liberal pro-abort judges, he appointed openly gay judges, and he left vacancies open for Deval Patrick to fill.
Right.
Knowing that it was Deval Patrick coming in, he still left them as vacancies. So that if we've got bad judges making bad decisions, will he stand up and not enforce those? Will he stand up to those judges and challenge them, have his attorney general challenge those, or is he just going to roll over?
Right.
That's important. Who he appoints and what he does, you know, there's supposed to be three equal branches of government, not judges and then everybody else.
Right. And, yeah, you're absolutely right, Larry. And, you know, why he would be getting an award tonight, you know, as you've said, if you're a pro-life person, seriously, there are certain basic tenets that you hold. And, you know, Romney sort of does some of them, but I don't think his heart is certainly not in all of them. I mean, the Terry Schiavo thing, the embryo issue, all of these other things, the fact that he signed a law in Massachusetts to have public funding of abortion, a pro-life governor would not have signed that law. I mean, maybe let the legislature pass it over your override. But, you know, there's a big problem here, Larry, isn't there?
There certainly is. And you know, that whole health scheme is something he seems to be running away from the more we find out about it and the cost, et cetera. But anybody who was with us would have seen that, would have said no, and that would have been a non-negotiable.
Right.
I think most people in America understand that we shouldn't be funding any type of abortion. He certainly should have, and instead it was one of the selling points in his plan.
Yeah, and Planned Parenthood is written into the law.
Well, that's the other craziness. I mean, since when do we put groups, and if we do that, then where's the balance in putting somebody else?
Right. Yeah, he never made a peep about any of that. He just sat down with Ted Kennedy and signed it with great fanfare. So this, you know, as we said, this is being taped Thursday before the event, and I guess people will be able to go to the Mass Resistance website and find out what happened. Hopefully, we'll have pictures by the time this is broadcast. But you know, it's interesting. He's getting it from both sides. He's getting it from the Planned Parenthood people who allege that he's become pro-life, and he's getting it from the pro-life people that aren't buying it.
Well, Brian, I think, you know, we're doing him a great service if, in fact, people are afraid that, you know, what happens if he becomes president? We won't have anybody to talk to him.
Right.
We're doing him a great service. We're letting people know, warts and all, what it's about, so that these types of things about Mrs. Romney giving money to Planned Parenthood and his previous positions don't come out as a surprise in New Hampshire in January.
Right. I forgot the other thing, his view of letting the states decide on abortion.
Yeah, if it's a black and white yes or no issue, why would we let states have different rules? Some states it's okay to kill people and some states it's not. Right. That just makes no sense.
It sort of reminds you of the Dred Scott decision.
You know, the black and white knife of death.
Suppose Abraham Lincoln had said, hey, I'm fine with some states having slavery and some states not.
Right.
You know. Anyway, Larry, we'll see what happens. You know, I think we're going to have some people out there. I think we're going to make a big splash, and people should go to the Mass Resistance website when they hear this and see what happened. Thank you very much for your activism. Thank you for standing up. Larry Serignano, Catholic activist. God bless you.
See you, Brian.
All right. This is Brian Kammacher. We'll be right back with more Catholic issues. And we're back. This is Brian Kammacher. You're listening to Mass Resistance Radio here on WTTT 1150 AM. Well, we've covered a lot, but we've got a lot more. This is sort of a disturbing subject, but, you know, it's something that's become, I mean, it's almost like, I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It's like the Nazi doctors or something.
There's a tidal wave in America right now on this issue, too. It's not just Massachusetts, but this is one of the centers of what's happening with the children.
Yeah, we're talking about the transgender movement has moved from dressing in women's clothes to becoming a woman through surgical manipulation of your body organs and hormones, and it's moved to doing this with young children who are confused, and it has become, I mean, I don't know if demonic is a strong enough word. You guys have done some, you know, interesting research on what's going on here in Boston.
Yeah, I'm glad that Ari was able to join us because he does have some knowledge of the pharmaceutical industry, and he can read these medical things with some intelligence, having worked in that field for a while. But before we get into that, we're going to focus on one particular medical professional that we came across in several mentions. This first came up a few weeks back when ABC did this hideous 1 hour 2020 show on transgender children, in quotation marks. But if you actually saw that program, you would see every one of the three children. None of them had been born with any physical abnormalities whatsoever. It was a psychological state that the child, and I say the parents were in. If you watched the show, you would have seen how off the parents of these poor children were. But Barbara Walters, of course, totally bought into it. And when you go online to read the report that ABC News put out, totally promoting this idea of transgender children, they mentioned a doctor in Boston named Norman Spack. It turns out Dr. Norman Spack is a leader in this area of working with so-called transgender children. He's at Children's Hospital, an endocrinologist. And one thing led to another. We started looking into news there was on him out there in the Google world. And I found out, to our own surprise, our own blog, we had posted something that included mention of Dr. Norman Spack. Back in 2005, people might remember that in Methuen, Massachusetts, there was a girl who wanted to be accepted as a boy and wanted to appear as a boy at her elementary school with her parents' support. And a lot of parents in the community objected, but this was allowed to happen. And Dr. Norman Spack spoke up on behalf of this transgender, supposedly transgender girl transforming into a boy. That was back in 2005. Since then, this doctor has spoken at the Transgender and PFLAG conference out in Worcester last October. That's a conference that's attended by people who are for polygamy, polyamory, group sex, bondage, discipline, and sadomasochism. They have seminars on those issues, as well as what Dr. Spack appeared for. And they had many workshops at that conference on raising transgendered children, how to support transgendered children in elementary school, etc. So that's a bit of an introduction on why we got interested in this particular doctor at Boston's Children's Hospital. But Ari, what have you found out about exactly what he is proposing and what makes it different?
Sure. Well, Amy, first off, I think it's important to point out that simply because one undergoes mutilating surgery and decides to administer to themselves the sex hormone of the alternate gender doesn't actually make you that gender. So it is surgery. However, it doesn't actually turn a girl into a boy. The mm-hmm. chromosomal consistency has remained. So, but your blog was the avenue which prompted me to do a little bit more research into Norman Spack over at Children's Hospital. I saw transgender, and I see Children's Hospital, and I couldn't understand what could possibly be happening with children and transgenderism. So I've done a little bit more of a research into it. I have a little bit of a background. I've formerly been in the pharmaceutical industry and wanted to see what it was that he was doing. He is the clinical director of the endocrine division over at Children's Hospital. And there's it's a unique clinic to the Western Hemisphere. Some of the models that they use there are based upon certain primitive practices done over in certain areas of the country, certain areas of the world where this is not a problem. And to go into a little bit of the details, it's a little bit technical as to what he does, but I think it's important for people to understand what it is that he is doing. And
Before you do that, let's just quickly mention there is such a thing as it's often referred to as the intersex condition, where a child is actually born with abnormalities, genital abnormalities. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about those children. Just want to be sure.
Right, that's correct. Yeah. I mean, you know, first let me just say I'm not a doctor, although I have some training in the medical profession, and I did some research in preparing for this segment on the transgender, that it is incredibly rare, that intersexed condition, and it's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about a DSM-4 diagnosed psychological condition that is going on, basically, and that's mm-hmm. really what we're talking about. Not this physical abnormality that occurs in development.
And of course, everyone would agree that people who are born with that abnormality deserve, you know, wonderful care.
Sure,
and
sure, absolutely.
Sympathetic, and you know that, that's not what we're talking about, though.
No, it's not. It's not. This is basically what we're talking about is those that have a condition where they feel that they want to be the other gender, and they are indulged into this. They are indulged by having doctors perform surgery to make them appear as if they are the opposite gender.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really where. Norman Spack comes into this whole conversation.
Mm-hmm. Because the age threshold is dropping quickly,
right.
It seems.
Well, that's where the disturbing part comes from. This is it's getting younger and younger, and now we're in this clinic at Children's Hospital where children, 7, 8, 9 years old, who in some confusion, maybe they have, for whatever reason we can talk about, are expressing certain desires, that maybe they feel that they're a male who you know, wants to be a female. Maybe they want to put on alternate clothing and put on a wig. And it should be stated, though, that actually Dr. Spack really, in an article that he published, states that those individuals, that those kids who do express these types of feelings, only about 20% of them actually manifest and continue through adulthood as this consistent desire to be referred to as the gender that they're not. So that's really where we come in to this clinic over at Children's Hospital. The means by which he goes about altering these children's gender is quite a bit disturbing, and that's why I did a little bit more of research into it. Is this something that this is something that you want to hear about?
Well, I think we might have to take a quick break, though, because this is going to take a little explaining.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, before we take the break, how does one determine which 20% would continue with that psychological attitude?
Yeah, well, that's
or
that's
problem.
The point.
I mean, there's no way one can determine that. So
that's the
and
point.
And even
there's
if
no...
somebody is going to continue with a psychological confusion into their adult years, does that justify hormonal and surgical intervention on the part of medical professionals? I mean, there's that question hanging out there.
That's exactly the point. And that's it's kind of a page out of the same book where these movements, the transgender movements, the homosexual movements, looking to infiltrate into the children, into the schools, to sort of nurture feelings such as these, to mm-hmm. bring them along, saying that there's nothing wrong with it. If you have these feelings, they should be fostered. They should be explored.
Right. In fact, that's definitely happening in the Massachusetts government with the Commission on Gay and Lesbian Youth. They want to add the word transgender to their mission. And the anti-bullying programs that we've talked about in the schools
are
focusing on what they call transgender children. Yeah. So they're definitely pushing this. Well, we'll get back to some of that technical stuff in a minute.
Let's take a quick break. This is Brian Kamiker with Amy and Ari. We'll be right back. I continue this talk. And we're back. Brian Kamiker, Mass Resistance Radio, here on WTTT 1150. We're here with Amy and Ari Taube. We're talking about the transgender movement and where it is going.
And specifically, a doctor at Boston Children's Hospital, Dr. Spack, who helps families who want, quote, relief from socially imposed or psychological slash physical distress. So what he's developing is a way of delaying puberty in young children who think they're transgendered and whose parents are supporting that.
Mm-hmm. Well, this delay of puberty, the purpose of which is to not allow the manifestations of the normal secondary sexual characteristics that typically occur in puberty, and thereby not allowing these characteristics to manifest, and therefore the gender reassignment surgery is a lot easier because they didn't have these characteristics develop in the first place.
So deciding before puberty that this person is going to have a transsexual operation at some point.
Essentially giving the authority to a 7, 8, 9-year-old to determine what gender they're going to be and to start medication at that
point. Or perhaps their crazy mommy, if you watch the ABC show.
Well, it just goes to the influence, how children can be influenced, and to lend this sort of credibility to children as to determine what the course of their entire life is going mm-hmm. to be is ludicrous. Mm-hmm. And there's a specific means by which he's able to do that. There's a medication that's actually approved by the FDA. It's what's called a GnRH analog, gonadotropin releasing hormone analog, and what it's indicated for, it is indicated for children around 7, 8, 9 years old for a condition called central precocious puberty, which is essentially an abnormally early onset of puberty in children. And essentially what it's for is to delay the onset of puberty so that normal development can occur at the correct time. It actually delays the secretion of these two hormones called LH and FSH, luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone, which then goes ahead and allows the body to normally take its puberty course, essentially.
Mm-hmm. So there may be a legitimate use for that drug, but at Boston Children's Hospital, they're examining other uses.
This is experimentation. This is saying that I'm going to do surgery on this child when they're approximately 16, 17 years old. And because I don't want them to develop these secondary sexual characteristics of their gender, which would be normal, exactly.
And, we don't want them to be normal.
Though. We want to stop that. We want to stop that progression because when come time to do the surgery, we don't have to deal with the reversal, which we would normally have to do if normal puberty took place.
It really does sound like Nazi doctors experimenting with human beings. And what I can't understand, again, we've got this hysteria in America over menopausal hormone drugs for women causing heart problems or, you know, maybe elevating risks of cancer. What on earth is going to happen to these little children if they're getting these very powerful drugs mm-hmm. from the time they're 6, 7, 8, or even if it's after puberty and they get the hormones from the opposite sex pumped into them?
Right. Well, this is not there are adverse events that are associated with this treatment. It's not simply to delay puberty. I mean, you look at the adverse events section of the medication, and I've printed it out here. It talks about bloody mucus in the nose, convulsions, difficulty swallowing, feeling a faster, irregular heartbeat, increased blood pressure, lightheadedness, loss of consciousness, migraine, headaches. These things can occur with the administration of GnRH, and to give it to children who are expressing a desire to be another gender at the ages of 7, 8, 9 years old and stopping their puberty because you're taking their word for it and you're going to stop that development. And we're not just talking about sexual characteristics. We're talking about height in males to be able to grow to a certain height and essentially retarding that process right from the point at which a child really can't make these decisions about themselves. It's ghastly. It's ghastly.
Really it's not, scary.
Yeah.
Really scary. And this is what's being promoted at Youth Pride because a lot of the people at Youth Pride are transgender, transsexual themselves, the people who are leading that crowd. It's crazy. And the Mass Commission on Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Youth.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
One last point. He quotes in his article, and he's talking about he's lamenting the fact that these GnRH analogs are so expensive. He talks about the endogenous sex steroids can be easily suppressed. He's talking about that they can be prohibitively expensive, and therefore patients are forced to take higher doses of sex steroids until they have had their gonads removed. So. He's talking about them being forced to take these medications in the absence.
Wow.
And then when you say having their gonads removed, having their penis,
think everybody knows.
Well, it's whatever entails in a gender reassignment surgery.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is very, very serious stuff. The experimentation on people in the 1930s in Germany is not an isolated incident, and you people had better wake up as to where this entire movement is going. So, unfortunately, we've run out of time. Go to the Mass Resistance website. Go to the Mass Resistance blog for more on this. We're going to be back next week with more. This is Brian Kamiker with Amy and Ari Taube. This is Mass Resistance Radio. Talk to you next week.